Hello, and welcome to the African American Hour. I'm Rosemary Onkwe, bringing you readings from the following publications: The University Daily Kansan, Parade, The Voice, The Wichita Beacon, Blavity, The Root, and Scape, and CNN. Today we'll begin our recording from the University Daily Kansan, titled Emily Taylor Center to Celebrate Its First Black Women's History Week, by Carmina Douglas, K-A-R-M-I-N-A, February 21st, 2024. The Emily Taylor Center for Women and Gender Equity, ETCWGE, will celebrate its inaugural Black Women's History Week at the University of Kansas for the first time from February 26th to 28th. I think it's important to bring this to KU so that our Black women and FEM students can understand and know that we see them. They are loved, they are heard, and they are valued, said Nikita Haney, H-A-Y-N-I-E, director of the ETCWGE. Created by author and activist Feminista Jones in 2018, the week aims to honor Black women at the intersection of Black History Month and Women's History Month. It's Black Women's History Week. However, we're going to have three events during that week just to accommodate for some other things that are going on with our Black student organizations, Haney said. Black Girls Are Magic Zine Night will take place on February 26th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the Kansas Room at the Kansas Union. The theme centers around Black femmes and encourages them to express what's unique and loved in their Blackness and Black womanhood. Haney said those outside of the Black femme community are welcome to attend the event and are encouraged to express their zines, how Black women bring joy to their lives. The Be Kinder to Yourself Mental Health webinar will take place on February 27th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Zoom. The webinar will be hosted by Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, founder of the Therapy for Black Girls. Haney thinks mental health is important, but heavily stigmatized within the Black community. Black women feel like we have to do it all. We're superwomen, and we don't ever get the space to just be, Haney said. The webinar will provide Black women and femmes with a space to relax, center their mental health, learn to be kinder to themselves, and restore a sense of balance in their lives. The final event will be a Black Roses Soiree on February 28th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Kansas Room at the Kansas Union. The theme of Black Roses, which is not part of the original framework of Black Women's History Week, was added on by Haney. When I think about Black women and femmes, I think about how we have come from such a multifaceted history, and roses are beautiful, Haney said. The beauty of Black womanhood is that it's multifaceted. It does come in different shapes, sizes, and experiences. The soiree will be a night for students to dress to impress, have a nice dinner, and be in a community with one another. Black Women's History Week will be held in collaboration with eight other organizations, including the Office of Multicultural Affairs, Gifted, Empowered, Motivated Sisters, and Black Student Union. These organizations were chosen because they all have Black women in leadership positions, and they are often found at the forefront of centering Black womanhood. More information can be found on the Emily Taylor Center website. This article was titled Emily Taylor Center to Celebrate Its First Black Women's History Week by Carmina Douglas, the University Daily Kansan, February 21st, 2024. Next, an article titled, March is Women's History Month. Learn more about its backstory and celebration. Written by Kelsey Pelzer, P-E-L-Z-E-R, Parade, March 6, 2024. Right on the heels of Black History Month in February comes March, Women's History Month. This is a month celebrated annually that seeks to spotlight the contributions of women, both historical and contemporary. Women's History Month runs from March 1st to March 31st. Women's History Month first came to be a national celebration in 1982, though the first celebration was Women's History Week. A few years later, it expanded into a full month of honoring women's roles in society, thanks to a petition from the National Women's History Project, which led to the president proclaiming March of every year Women's History Month. According to the official website of Women's History Month, these proclamations celebrate the contributions women have made to the United States and recognize the specific achievements women have made over the course of American history in a variety of fields. When was Women's History Month established? The origins of the declared month began as Women's History Week on March 7, 1982. During the next 5 years, according to the official website, Congress passed joint solutions to continue celebrating the week each March. The National Women's History Project was instrumental in designating the celebration as a full month. In 1987, the group petitioned to make March Women's History Month, and as a result, Congress passed PUBL 100-9, a resolution that declared March 1987 as the first ever Women's History Month. For each year after that, up till 1994, Congress continued to pass resolutions requesting that each president proclaim March Women's History Month. Ever since 1995, U.S. presidents have issued proclamations annually to celebrate Women's History Month. The goal of Women's History Month is to highlight the achievements, contributions made by a variety of women in a variety of fields, filmmakers, artists, engineers, and pioneers of all kinds. Throughout time, women have played a vital role in U.S. history. Therefore, Women's History Month seeks to give credit where credit is due, and recognize the women who have changed the world in so many ways. Here are a few simple ways to celebrate Women's History Month on your own. Buy and support women-owned businesses. Support and play watch women-led and women-made films and songs. Share what you've learned about women's history online. Read and buy books from female writers. Some historians credit the school district of Sonoma, California, for igniting the flame for Women's History Month. This local area organized a week-long celebration of women's contributions to culture, history, and society, with hundreds of participants between class presentations, essays written, and a parade in Santa Rosa. Then in 1981, the first dedicated effort to nationally recognize and publicly appreciate women's contributions to society throughout history began as a public law passed in Congress to establish the week starting March 7, 1982 as Women's History Week. Throughout the next 5 years, a single week in March continued to be celebrated for this purpose. International Women's Day is a global celebration that also takes place in March on March 8th every year. Celebrated for the first time in 1911, according to History.com. This year, it took place on Friday, March 8, 2024. Around the world, countries make an effort to support women on this special day. As History.com reported, the United Nations even began sponsoring the day in 1975, with a General Assembly explaining that their goals included recognizing the fact that securing peace and social project and the full enjoyment of human rights and fundamental freedoms require the active participation, equality, and development of women, and to acknowledge the contribution of women to the strengthening of international peace and security. Molly Murphy McGregor, Mary Ruth's daughter, Ruthsdotter, Maria Cuevas, Cuevas, Paula Hammett, and Betty Morgan, Bette, founded the National Women's History Alliance in 1980 and are largely credited for being the founders of Women's History Month. It is their coalition that ultimately led to the proclamation of Women's History Week, then month. The National Women's History Alliance is a nonprofit organization with the intention of ensuring women's history becomes mainstream, according to the website. International Women's Day falls on March 8, 2024. To commemorate the day and stand in solidarity, many people wear the official color of International Women's Day, purple. This article was titled, March is Women's History Month. Learn more about its backstory and celebration. Written by Kelsey Pelzer, Parade, March 6, 2024. The next article is titled, Jackson County Launches Senior Property Tax Credit Program to Freeze Tax Bills. Written by Thomas White, The Voice, March 12, 2024. Property tax bills in Jackson County shocked some this year. While the time has passed to appeal or change this year's tax bill, the county is offering some help to freeze seniors' tax bills in the future. Jackson County has opened applications to its new Senior Property Tax Credit Program, which aims to assist eligible residents in managing property tax payments and ultimately keeping them in their homes. The program, authorized by a new state law, freezes property tax bills at 2024 levels for eligible senior residents. This initiative offers significant benefits, ensuring financial relief and stability for eligible individuals, said Jackson County Executive Frank White. We encourage qualified residents to take advantage of the opportunity presented by this valuable program. While the program won't lower payments this year, it would keep eligible seniors' tax bills the same going forward, so there are no surprise increases. The guidelines for the county program, established by state law, include specific eligibility criteria, tax credit amounts, and other essential factors. Here's what you need to know. To qualify for the program, you must prove with documentation that you are a Jackson County property owner and are eligible for Social Security retirement benefits. The base amount for the property tax bill freeze is determined by the year an application is approved. This base amount remains consistent for future payments unless there's a change in eligibility status. Applicants are limited to claiming one primary residence and must be occupied by the eligible resident. To qualify for the program, the property's market value must not exceed $550,000 in accordance with legislation passed by the Jackson County Legislature. Applicants must submit new applications and supporting documentation via email or in person by December 31st of each year. Upon approval, participants must renew their application annually by August 31st to remain in the program. Interested seniors can access applications online at www.jacksongov.org/senior-tax-credit or obtain a paper copy of the application at County Collection Department locations at either the Jackson County Courthouse in downtown Kansas City or the Historic Truman Courthouse in Independence. This article was titled, Jackson County Launches Senior Property Tax Credit Program to Freeze Tax Bills. Written by Thomas White, The Voice, March 12, 2024. Next, a special article from the Wichita Beacon titled, Cindy Cauganour, C-O-G-H-E-N-O-U-R, taught thousands of women to protect themselves after one friend couldn't. Written by Cecilia Green, March 13, 2023. If a guy looking for an easy target saw a petite older woman like Cindy Cauganour walking down a deserted street in Wichita, he might think he's found his next victim. He would be wrong. She would already be aware of him walking towards her, and she would be planning her escape. With her purse across her body and her hands free, she would make eye contact, signaling, "I see you." Should he move menacingly toward her, she would throw out her open hands and shout, "No, get back!" and yell and scream as loud as possible to draw attention. Her goal would be to get away, but failing that, she would not hesitate to fight like a girl, using methods that also work for older women and do not take strength so much as savvy. These are the methods she teaches in her high-energy, fearless, and female classes, where students learn women-friendly personal safety and practice self-defense techniques. Koganor founded Fearless and Female in 2001, 24 years after her childhood friend, Julie Ladd, was murdered in the basement of her Wichita State University residence hall on May 15, 1977. Ladd was 19. The Wichita Eagle reported on the 40th anniversary of the murder that Leonard L. Bell encountered Ladd in the basement about 1:30 a.m. as she was doing her laundry. According to the Eagle story, Ladd interrupted him trying to steal money from the coin-operated machines. He stabbed and sexually assaulted her. The murder went unsolved for 7 years, but Bell eventually received a life sentence and died in prison in 2017. Koganor remembers Ladd as a friend, not a victim. She and Ladd lived next door to each other and attended elementary, junior high, and high school together before both enrolled at Wichita State. Julie and I knew how to dance, swim, and drive a car, but we didn't know how to protect our bodies in a dangerous situation. I now travel the country teaching women and young girls the life-saving skills that Julie and I never had the opportunity to learn. She started taking self-defense classes in the 1990s and became certified and trained in several forms of self-defense. Most of her teachers were men. "They taught us to fight like a man," Koganor said, "to overpower our attackers and take them down. I wanted to teach women how to fight just long enough to find a window of opportunity to run to safety." Now in her 22nd year of showing women, girls, and teens how to protect themselves, she estimates she has taught thousands. Koganor says she sees an increase in calls for classes each time the news reports a jogger or hiker being abducted off a trail. And her phone rings off the hook, she says, in July and August, when mothers start getting ready to send their daughters off to college. "We don't have to like it, but it's a fact that simply being a woman, we look like a really good target of crime," she said. "I tell them to listen to their intuition. It's rarely wrong. If something feels wrong or creeps you out, be prepared to run away. We have to be aware of our surroundings at all times." Young women should also know they do not have to be polite to someone who makes them feel uncomfortable. Just get away from them, she said. For women who can't get away, Koganor tells them, whether the attacker is in front or behind, reach up and find his ears, putting thumbs in the right place to gouge his eyes. Then draw his head down to your knees for a hard kick, which rocks him back for a kick in the groin. Some women have been taught to put their keys between their fingers when walking, to use as a weapon if needed. Instead, Koganor recommends a stabby kitty, made of rigid plastic that fits on your first two fingers with sharp cat ears, as weapons that won't slip out of your hands like keys. She cautions students that these are considered weapons and will be confiscated any place you go through security. Other ways to avoid being a victim of crime include keeping the lights on outside your house and putting a big beware of dog sign on your fence, whether you have a dog or not. Some women who live alone have put a set of big work boots on their front porch or a long rawhide bone in the yard. Whether a woman has already had a frightening incident or not, most are usually nervous about taking her class. When they get here, they find they can blend in and have fun joining in, Koganor said. Cecilia Rogers, a real estate agent in Wichita, said the class made her more confident interacting with strangers on her job. "The techniques were simple enough that I could remember how to do them. It was fun. I especially enjoyed shouting, 'No, get back!'" Koganor uses humor to help her students remember the moves and teaches children who may be grabbed from behind to go chihuahua crazy if someone tries to pick them up. Wriggle, scream, kick, swing your arms. Wichita mom Chastity Paloski and her daughter Madeline first took Cindy's class when Madeline was a Daisy Scout. Madeline is now 15, and they have taken the class 3 times. Each time we feel more empowered and strong, Paloski said. I feel safer in public, knowing I have the skills to protect myself and my friends. Kobinar's impact sometimes shows up in unusual places. She was recently shopping at Sam's Club and saw 4 little girls down the aisle giggling and looking at her. When they all assumed the get back position, she realized they were Girl Scouts she had taught in a 3 a.m. class at an annual sleepover in a shopping mall. Kobinar has a life beyond self-defense. She has 3 grown sons and 6 grandchildren and another passion for hiking. She and friend Jerry Brungardt, B-R-U-N-G-A-R-D-T, founded Women Hiking KS and Beyond in 2019. It's an all-female hiking group for ages 12 to 80 plus that meets monthly. Kobinar said besides the exercise and getting out to interesting sites around Kansas and surrounding states, she said the benefits include bonds formed that extend beyond the hikes. Now it's like a big sisterhood. Kobinar will turn 65 on St. Patrick's Day. She had told herself that this would be the last year for her fearless and female classes, but the need is so great, she's already booked into the next year. As long as I feel good and I'm having fun, I'll keep doing it, she said. This article was titled, Cindy Kobinar Taught Thousands of Women to Protect Themselves After One Friend Couldn't, written by Cecilia Green, The Wichita Beacon, March 13, 2023. The next article is titled, Women's Sports Deserve the Same Space for Aggression That Men's Sports Get, written by Khalil Haywood, K-A-H-L-I-L, Blavity, March 15, 2024. I may sound like a broken record, but women's basketball is on fire. Coming off the heels of a superb SEC finals game, we now turn to the NCAA tournament. Competition is at an all-time high, and that's evident through the aggressive play we've been seeing. Most recently, we saw quite the brouhaha developed between the LSU Tigers and the South Carolina Gamecocks. Officials and authorities were quick to break things up. But I couldn't help but think, hell, this is my kind of party. It seems to be a subconscious trend in recent times. I'm beginning to think that these young ladies are consciously making sure that they and their respective games are taken seriously. As you read my thoughts today, I know they make it seem like I'm sort of an advocate for violence. I promise you, that's not quite it. Rather, I'm all in on feverish competition. And sometimes, that manifests in some scuffles. It's rather normal in sports, and to be frank, it's necessary to reach championship-level status. The underlying theme I want to address here is how we view aggression within women's and men's sports. I think that the rules, of course, are particularly different for black women. For instance, the aggression that Serena Williams would play with in tennis was always under scrutiny. The white media always thought she should comport herself differently. But she was supremely talented, and that fire proved to be the catalyst to her success. Why should we be trying to quell that? So when it comes to the world of basketball, women deserve the same space. We're never critical of when men's teams play with aggression. It's lauded, implored, it's preached as a necessity. Look no further to a few legendary enforcers in Draymond Green, Dennis Rodman, and Maida World Peace. Their legacies are primarily attached to the force with which they played. What we're seeing among the women's ranks, at least to me, is a statement. Women in this current era of women's basketball want it to be understood that they too are principled. They too are tough, and their game and their product should be taken seriously. As for a fan like me, of course, I think that equals dollar signs. Whatever the women's basketball game leaves to be desired,
in highlight fast break dunks. I love that the current crop of women stars are so vocal. They're so demonstrative. All these elements lend themselves to a compelling product to consume in person or on television. But the beauty in all of this is that it seems genuine and organic. And as long as these ladies continue to maintain a high sense of self and pride in their game, the future of women's basketball will be more lucrative. This article was titled, "Women's Sports Deserve the Same Space for Aggression That Men's Sports Get," written by Khalil Haywood, Blavity, March 15, 2024. Next, another article from Blavity titled, "Meet Jeremiah Fennell, F-E-N-N-E-L-L, the 11-year-old who interviewed Super Bowl star players for NFL Network," written by Kyra Alessandrini, A-L-E-S-S-A-N-D-R-I-N-I, February 12, 2024. At just 11 years old, Jeremiah Fennell has interviewed some of the top players in the NFL. The aspiring journalist spoke with members of both the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers ahead of the 2024 Super Bowl. Fennell was an interviewer for NFL Network on February 5th, the media day ahead of the event. He asked Chiefs head coach Andy Reid questions and players Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. "That was a heck of a question right there, man," Reed said, after the 11-year-old asked him about his Super Bowl legacy and potential gameplay changes ahead of their second Super Bowl, according to Today. "That was 4 years ago, so I don't know if it's a grudge match as much as each team wants to do its best." Fennell also interviewed 49ers George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, D-E-E-B-O, and Fred Warner. "I started to do this at the age of 7 years old because I wasn't able to play sports due to some medical issues. But I still like the sports environment," the interviewer told Robinson. "So I decided to hone my craft in journalism at the age of 7. And I started my YouTube channel. And yes, I do think I can keep this as a career because I do still love the sport. And I do know a lot about it. So I think that interviewing people can be a long career for me." Fennell is a natural. He says he doesn't get starstruck during his interviews, although he is an NFL fan. "I know deep down in my heart that they're all people," Fennell told the Herald Review. "Just because they're popular doesn't mean they're different from everybody. So no, I never get starstruck with people, but I do get excited to see people." This article was titled, "Meet Jeremiah Fennell, the 11-year-old who interviewed Super Bowl star players for NFL Network," written by Kyra Alessandrini, Blavity, February 12, 2024. The next article is titled, "Black Teacher Goes Viral for Helping to Quiet Crying Children. Does He Deserve a Raise?" Written by Angela Johnson, The Root, March 16, 2024. If you've ever had to tell a young child no, then you already know that they can be downright unreasonable when they don't get their way. And no matter how hard you try to stay calm and reason with them, those little ones can take you there if you let them. Well, one educator is out here teaching a masterclass on handling temper tantrums in a video that had plenty of people talking. You can't talk about this teacher without first talking about his outfit. No frumpy cardigan or sensible shoes here. This teacher was beyond fly in a black sleeveless top and a pair of cool white frames. But what really got folks buzzing about this clip online was how he kept his cool when he heard a group of young students crying and literally got on their level to get to the bottom of the situation. "In order for me to hear you, you have to stop crying because I want to hear what you have to say," he said to the kids, who looked like they could not be calmed. As the crying continued, he prompts the children to use their words to explain the situation, and he makes sure to calmly check the ones who aren't following his instructions. "When you're supposed to be listening, turn on your listening ears and listen," he said, "because when you want to do something, you're going to want your teacher to listen to you, right?" Unable to come with a comeback, the kids eventually calmed down enough to confess that their outburst was about not being able to go outside with their classmates. And the educator is able to explain to them how listening and keeping their cool is the best way to get their way. No word on where the school is, but most people in the comments couldn't stop giving this guy props for his patience. Others hoped he would bring his expertise with the little ones to help some of the adults in their lives. He needs to teach my coworkers in the office, 'cause they don't be turning on their listening ears, LOL, wrote one person in the comments. According to the American Federation of Teachers, black men represent just 2% of the country's teaching force, but they have a tremendous impact on the students they teach. The Institute of Labor Economics found that low-income black students who have a black elementary school teacher for at least 1 year are less likely to drop out of high school and are more likely to pursue higher education. Bottom line, let's find more black male educators like this one who are willing and able to bring out the best in our kids. This article was titled, Black Teacher Goes Viral for Helping Quiet Crying Children. Does He Deserve a Raise? Written by Angela Johnson, The Root, March 16th, 2024. Next, an article from Andscape titled Basketball Africa League Documentary, The Next Project of Filmmaker Akin Omotoso, AKINOMOTOSO, written by Mark J. Spears, March 14th, 2024. Pretoria, South Africa. There was a quick scene in the 2022 Disney movie Rise, where a young Giannis Antetokounmpo, GIANNIS ANTETOKOUNMPO, was asked to pay a fee on a computer to use the internet at Amadou Cafe in Athens, Greece. Rise director Akin Omotoso told Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo Fall on March 8th that the fictional cafe was named in honor of him in the movie made about Milwaukee Bucks star and two of his brothers. Amadou, the Amadou Cafe that Giannis went to in Rise, I named it after you, Omotoso told Fall during a lavish pre-party for the start of the 2024 BAL season in Johannesburg. Really? That was for me? Fall said. Fall will have a much more prominent role in the upcoming documentary, Origin, the story of the Basketball Africa League. Omotoso is co-executive producer, and Origin looks back at the history of the ball, its first season, and the complex basketball relationship between Africa and America. The ball was founded in 2019 by the NBA and FIBA and started its fourth season March 9th with 12 qualified clubs from across Africa. The ball is playing games in Pretoria, Dakar, Senegal, Cairo, and Kigali, K-I-G-A-L-I, Rwanda, this season. The inaugural ball season in 2020 was delayed due to the coronavirus pandemic. It finally debuted in a private bubble form in 2021 in Kigali, with rapper J. Cole headlining the participants. J. Cole, former President Barack Obama, and NBA Africa strategic partner Golden State Warrior guard Stephen Curry, Joakim Noah, a ball investor, and two-time NBA All-Star Indiana Pacers center Pascal Siakam of Cameroon, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, and Toronto Raptors president Masai Ujiri of Nigeria, who is also a co-executive producer of Origin, are among those who are interviewed in the documentary. In curating our stories, you have to capture the beginning, Because soon, this will be a successful league, Omotosho said, from his Sunbet Arena during ball play on Sunday. You have to record it. Being involved in the documentary is really key for me. The doc was a lot of fun to make. It's coming out soon. We don't have a release date yet. It's a beautiful documentary about this league, how it started during COVID, and how they put it together. And also, just looking at the overview of basketball on this continent, the journey of Amadou and his team, and just getting that first season out there. Omotosho, a Nigerian, is also an actor, and he's best known for directing Rise, Man on Ground 2011, Tell Me Sweet Something 2015, and Vaya 2016. He said he was terrible in soccer during his youth and was inspired to start playing basketball after watching the film Michael Jordan, Come Fly With Me on VHS in 1989. Omotosho began following NBA players from Africa, such as Hakeem Olajuwon, Hakeem Olajuwon, Manute Bol, Manute Bol, and Dikembe Mutombo, Dikembe Mutombo. Growing up here, I always felt that there was a lot of talent here in Africa, Omotosho said, but there is a lot of talent all over the world. When we were coming up, we would watch the games at 12 o'clock to 3 in the morning, or we would put our VHS on to tape the games because of the time difference. After his family immigrated to South Africa as a teenager, he attended the University of Cape Town to study speech and drama and played college basketball. The basketball enthusiast wrote a column called Basketball is a Country for the website Africa is a Country in 2015. He interviewed Fall and Antetokounmpo. Omotosho also flew from Johannesburg to New York City in 2015 to attend NBA All-Star Weekend. In 2019, Omotosho was reading Sports Illustrated when he came upon a story on Antetokounmpo's challenging road to NBA stardom from a Nigerian family in a racially challenged environment in Greece. The story mentioned plans for a movie about Antetokounmpo that would air on Disney Plus. Omotosho told his agent immediately he wanted to direct the Antetokounmpo movie. He also kept Sports Illustrated next to his bed as motivation. I told my agent, whatever you do, you have to get me into that room, because I've been dreaming about a film like this, Omotosho said. His story was just amazing to me. I have been thinking about it for so long. Omotosho landed an interview with Walt Disney Company executives in the summer of 2020. He said he pitched from the heart his vision, his experience producing Vaya, the connection with his Nigerian roots, and love of basketball. You basically go in to tell them why it has to be you, Omotosho said. I told them, I love this game. This is my story. I moved from Nigeria. I understand the parallels being in another country, what that means. After Disney deliberated for 7 weeks, on September 18th, Omotosho was chosen to direct Rise. Coincidentally, Antetokounmpo won his second NBA MVP award that day. Omotosho recalls when Antetokounmpo, his brother Thanis, and their mother Veronica came to the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank, California, on February 7, 2022, during a Bucks road trip to watch an early cut of Rise. The two youngest Antetokounmpo brothers, Kostas and Alex, watched it simultaneously via streaming, since they were both playing professionally overseas at the time, said the Antetokounmpo family's viewing was private. He believed he had won them over. It was a beautiful day, Omotosho said. They came on the lot and watched the film. It was amazing because they were crying. Giannis, Thanis, and their mother. It was beautiful. That was the moment. It was such a beautiful process. I really loved the story. You're always nervous, but we were such a community making that film. that I was excited to show them. The next day, Omotosho sat courtside at an NBA game for the first time with Walt Disney Pictures president Sean Bailey to watch the Bucks beat the host Los Angeles Lakers 131-116. Looking back, Atentokunbo said working with a fellow Nigerian made it comfortable to make the movie for his protective family. "He was a great guy, man," said Atentokunbo, who signed the Sports Illustrated cover for Omotosho. "And he was telling me that he always wanted to make a movie about me, and his dream came true. This guy has been dreaming about doing a film on me since I was drafted from Greece. That's a great story. I want to make a movie about him, and fast forward 10 years later, his dream comes true. That was crazy." Omotosho said it was a special moment to attend the first ball games in South Africa on March 9th. He said Africans are undergoing a renaissance in sports, music, and film. "The thing about ball, knowing Amadou and what the vision was, the idea was having a league here with Africa's top basketball players," Omotosho said. "You can't say there wasn't a path. I met Amadou when he first set up the office, and I remember him talking about his vision. The stories of African players on the continent have an opportunity to hopefully show ball to be a long-living league that continues to innovate and do great things during formative years. That is why working on the Origin documentary was important as an executive producer to capture the beginning." ESPN's Jamal Collier contributed to this story. This article was titled "Basketball Africa League Documentary, the Next Project of Filmmaker Akin Omotosho," written by Mark J. Spears, Anscape, March 14th, 2024. Next, another article about the movie titled Iwaju, I-W-A-J-U, from CNN, titled Iwaju, Nigeria-based first-of-its-kind animated series, premieres on Disney+. Written by Jackie Prager, P-R-A-G-E-R, and Lamide Akintobi, L-A-M-I-D-E, A-K-I-N-T-O-B-I, February 28, 2024, Lagos, Nigeria, CNN. After nearly 5 years of tireless work, the animation team at Kugali Media, K-U-G-A-L-I, is finally seeing its comic book series, Iwaju, come to life in a big way. And now audiences around the world can join in. The animated series is a coming-of-age story set in a futuristic Lagos, Nigeria, L-A-G-O-S. The show was picked up by Walt Disney Animated Studios in 2020, which called it a first-of-its-kind collaboration with the Pan-African Entertainment Company. All 6 episodes are now available to stream on Disney+. Hamid Ibrahim, H-A-M-I-D-I-B-R-A-H-I-M, CEO of Kugali, K-U, G-A-L-A, co-founded the company in 2017 with 2 friends, T-O-L-O-W-O-F-O-Y-E-K-U, and Olufikayo Ziki Adeola, O-L-U-F-I-K-A-Y-O, Z-I-K-I, A-D-E-O-L-A. He says the team began working on Iwaju 2 years later as part of the company's mission to share high-quality African stories with the world. Ibrahim told CNN that having Disney pick up their show and offer it on its streaming platform is definitely proof it can be done, and it has been done. And that's a very, very sweet feeling. My hope is that people get to experience an authentic version of Lagos, but also have fun, because this is a sci-fi story that's futuristic. So I want them to have fun and lose themselves. Adeola told CNN, at the world premiere in Lagos on Tuesday. Ibrahim says Africa is at the heart of every story Kugali tells. But with so many countries and cultures, they strive to be intentional with their storytelling. We're telling an African story, but a lot of viewers do not understand African culture, he said. Hopefully, by watching, they get to understand it better. Iwaju is brought to life through Nigerian voice actors Simisola Badamosi, Simisola Gbadamosi, and Siji Soitan, Sijisoetan, who play Tola, Tola, and her best friend Kole, Kole. Other characters from the show include voice acting by Dayo Okeni, Dayo Okeniyi, Femi Branch, Femi, and Weruchi Opia, Weruchi Opia. To accurately depict the soul of Lagos, Ibrahim said they relied on Olowofoyekun to be the team's cultural consultant, since he is the only Kugali Media executive based in Lagos full-time. I was there to make sure that everything felt authentic and grounded, Olowofoyekun said. The fact that the language, the way the characters talk, is 100% Nigerian, I'm very happy about that, because there was no scene where you will feel it doesn't really feel Nigerian. It's not about showing the good side or the bad side. It's about showing the real thing about it, Ibrahim said, adding they tried to capture all the little details of the city to help the audiences better understand the nuances. It also allows us to teach people about the culture. And the more we teach about the culture, the more some things become normal. While the show premiered on February 28th on Disney Plus, the streaming service is not yet available in Africa. Instead, Iwaju will be airing on the Disney Channel across the continent at specific times, beginning on April 22nd, according to the company. As audience tune in to watch Iwaju, Ibrahim says he hopes the family show will speak to viewers of all ages. I want the kids to pick up the heart, to approach something which seems impossibly difficult, and to be able to persevere through it, and know that there's going to be setbacks, ups and downs, but to keep pushing through, and you'll hopefully discover something better, he said. Ibrahim voiced his gratitude to Disney for trusting them with the animation. The general manager for Walt Disney Company Africa, Christine Service, told CNN this collaboration provided an opportunity for greater representation within the continent. For us at Disney, great storytelling is at the heart of everything we do. It's telling authentic stories where our audiences can see themselves and their worlds reflected, she said at the Lagos premiere, adding that Disney felt the Kugali team shared that same philosophy. Along with the 6-episode series, the soundtrack featuring music by Nigerian composer Ray Olenuga, R-E-O-L-U-N-U-G-A, and a game called Disney Iwaju, Rising Chef, are also being released. The game will allow players to explore authentic African delicacies through a fast-paced and accessible cooking game, according to Disney, that celebrates the culture and cuisine of Nigeria. With Iwaju on air, Ibrahim says the Kugali Media team is ready to start working on showcasing the next African story. This is the first step to creating more and more things, he said. I want to see one of our stories told and funded completely within Africa, and then we bring that to the West. This article was titled Iwaju, Nigeria-based first-of-its-kind animated series, premieres on Disney+. Written by Jackie Prager and Lamide Akintobi. CNN, February 28, 2024. Next, an article relating to Teen Mental Health, titled Miles Morales Fights Teen Mental Health Crisis, an Important New Spider-Verse Short, written by Stephanie Holland, The Root, March 27, 2024. In the new animated short, The Spider Within a Spider-Verse Story, Miles Morales is haunted by the extraordinary pressure of his life and must decide how he's going to deal with the stress. Shameik Moore, S-H-A-M-E-I-K, and Brian Tyree Henry reprise their franchise roles as Miles Morales and his father, Jefferson Davis. As he heads home after a long day of school, an active social life, and being Spider-Man, Miles begins to feel the exhaustion of it all weighing on him. In fact, he's so tired, he can't even bring himself to enjoy the night of scary movies his dad has planned. He desperately tries to relax, but is soon plagued by nightmares. As the title suggests, he's attacked by visions of spiders big and small. This is where I warn you that if you have a thing about insects, you should skip this one. In the end, Miles decides that talking to his dad might actually help, and they go for a walk. Promoting a stigma-free world for mental health concerns is always an important topic. Using one of the most popular superheroes on the planet to do it is genius. Let's be honest. Your kids may not listen when you tell them it's okay to open up and talk about their anxiety and fear. But if their favorite hero is saying it, they might hear that loud and clear. Unfortunately, mental health is always going to be an issue that's difficult for Black people to discuss. Over the years, we've been conditioned to suppress our feelings and just keep it moving because we don't have time to stop and examine every slight or microaggression. Of course, those insults add up and can only be ignored for so long. We don't need to pass these painful traditions down to the next generation, which makes projects like this so crucial. The Spider-Verse films have become a cultural touchstone, so using them to showcase this important issue is brilliant. The franchise hasn't gotten a thing wrong since its debut, and we can't wait to see where it goes next. This article is titled, Miles Morales Fights Teen Mental Health Crisis in Important New Spider-Verse Short by Stephanie Holland, The Root, March 27th, 2024.
Next, an article from Black Enterprise titled, Christy Rutherford Says Self-Care is a Priority for Corporate Women Who Want Higher Salaries, written by Stacy Jackson, April 2nd, 2024. As organizations dial back their DEI programs amid industry-wide backlash, women's leadership expert and executive coach Christy Rutherford remains committed to her mission to help Black women receive higher salaries in the corporate world. Her approach revolves around prioritizing self-care, a crucial factor in her clients' ability to double and triple their salaries within 6 months. The most significant change I get my clients to make is prioritizing their self-care, Rutherford told Black Business. This may not be the popular opinion, but holding high-achieving women accountable to taking care of themselves is no easy feat. The Harvard Business School alumna emphasized that women's actions to secure promotions often render them unpromotable, she explained. Women exhaust themselves from working harder, getting multiple advanced degrees, volunteering for extra projects. When leaders look for people to promote, they overlook the tired and task-laden woman and give the role to a less qualified person who can handle more work. Following completing the program for leadership development and 3 negotiation courses, the leadership coach has spoken to hundreds of clients who say they feel overworked, underpaid, and underemployed. However, she found common mistakes among women who seek promotions. They want to be promoted, but they don't ask, she said. And when they ask, they usually say, "What do you think is fair?" Rutherford believes such habits will continue to result in salary disappointments for women who give their leaders the power to determine their value. Her remarkable achievement starkly contrasts to the sluggish progress made by companies in their diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, efforts, despite spending approximately $7.5 billion on related initiatives. Since 2020, the leadership expert has helped her clients secure over $14 million in salary raises, including seven black women who received seven-figure compensation packages. Black Enterprise previously noted that the South Carolina State University alumna helped 40 women leaders see at least a 30% raise since June 2020. Additionally, 15 saw a double or triple increase in their salaries. Rutherford revealed a goal to get 10,000 women $1 billion in salary raises by 2025. This article was titled, Christy Rutherford Says Self-Care is a Priority for Corporate Women Who Want Higher Salaries, by Stacy Jackson, Black Enterprise, April 2nd, 2024.
That's all the time we have for the African American Hour. My name is Rosemary Onkwe. Thanks for joining us.